You're listening to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Erica Russo, psychic medium and intuitive development coach. This show is all about giving you the conversations, tools, and wisdom you need to live life the intuitive way. Whether you are waking up, wanting to develop your intuition and connection to spirit, or wanting to live a more magical life, I got you covered. I give you grounded, practical, and insightful content that helps you wake up, level up, and connect with your soul. I'm excited you are here. Let's wake up together. Hey guys, welcome to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I'm really excited that you're here. If you are an OG, you keep coming back. You keep listening, growing, expanding, learning to be the intuitive badass that you are meant to be. What the fuck is up, guys? Thanks for coming back. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. You guys make this so easy for me and so much fun, and I am grateful for every single download, every single comment, every single like. You guys make this just such, you're making my dreams come true. So thank you. Thank you for your support. If this podcast is helping you, if the conversations are bringing you value, or maybe just a different way to look at things, if it's helping you, if it's, you know, helping you go through the dark night of the soul or a spiritual awakening, or just helping you become more intuitive, if you can head on over to iTunes and write a review. Those reviews allow me to get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. And I think we can all agree that now more than ever, we need some insight and some clarity and some peace of mind during this crazy time that we are in. But before you go ahead and you click submit when you submit your review, make sure you take a picture and you send it to me at hello@ericarusso.co, no M, and I want to send you my soul alignment activation for free as a thank you, because I know how busy life is, and you know, you taking that time out to support my business and to support me and to support this podcast, I just really, really freaking appreciate you guys. So today I was really, really drawn to do another episode about empaths and narcissistic abuse. I used to do a couple of them last year, and I know that they are very informative, and I know that it's outside of the norm that, you know, of what I usually speak about, but you know what? I'm going to use my platform to spread value and to keep people informed about things that can go unnoticed. So I asked Allie Lovegood. She was actually on the podcast a couple months back, and she shared about her near-death experience, which was insane, and she's absolutely amazing. This woman is a freaking warrior, and I am so happy that she came back on the show because she is a wealth of knowledge. I found her on TikTok, and all of her information is going to be in the show notes for you. Please go check her out. But we really talk about narcissistic personality disorder. We also talk about being an empath and being very empathic and being very sensitive, as well as, you know, the things that we have to look out for when it comes to toxic relationships and narcissistic abuse, because again, this can go unnoticed for lifetimes. And I notice so much in my own work and the people that I work with that sometimes we aren't even aware that we are a victim until someone gives all of the indications that are abuse. So I loved having this conversation with her. Please, guys, if you know someone that is a victim of domestic violence, of narcissistic abuse, send them over to this episode. I think it's really, really important just to have people be more informed and know their worth and know that they are not alone, and make sure that they go and follow Allie on TikTok, because she gives so much advice there about this kind of stuff. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I will see you soon. Okay, guys, I am really excited about this because
if you have been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I like to pop in these episodes where I talk about narcissistic personality disorder as well as empaths, because this is a problem. It's a problem. And I see so often that so many amazing sensitive people, empaths, are in situations and relationships where narcissistic personality is apparent. And it's a really sticky situation. So I love giving you guys the tools, the tips, the tricks to understand narcissistic personality disorder and how to spot it. And there is no better person to have on this show today than my good friend, Allie Lovegood, who is probably my favorite narc talk TikTok talker. And she's also been on the podcast before where we talked about her near death experience. And that was absolutely incredible. And I got so much feedback on that episode. So Allie, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Erica. I'm so freaking excited. I'm so excited.
I know. I mean, I think that it's so like nice to see, because a lot of the times with people who have dealt with this sort of trauma and this sort of abuse, I mean, for you to be so open and honest and just vulnerable about it and just be so freaking educated and like take the steps to educate yourself on personality disorders and how to deal with these situations, it's really empowering for others. I really have to say that, because so many people hide in the shadows.
And
for you to be so open, it's just, you're helping a lot of people, girl. You really are.
Thank you. The amount of messages I get every day is just insane. Thank you so much for helping me. You helped save my life. I was going to commit suicide last night and I didn't because of this video. It just popped up whenever I needed it. And I was like, those are the ones that give me the goosebumps. Those are the ones where I'm like, okay, this is what I need to keep doing. This is why I need to keep educating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about your life and your experience with, you know, narcissism. And was there any specific event or aha moment where you realized that you were a victim of narcissistic abuse?
I was actually a victim of narcissistic abuse ever since I was a child. What happened whenever I was a child is I didn't have anybody stick up for me during that time. My mother nor my father stuck up for me. So I chose partners just like my mother and just like my father. Those unhealed childhood wounds is what allowed me to choose the people that I picked as partners. And it was awful. I mean, I had no self-worth. I had no value within myself. I didn't love myself. And there was no way in hell that I thought that I was pretty enough to even think that this person or the partners that I was choosing was going to treat me the way that I wanted to be treated, because I didn't even feel those things within myself. So if you don't have that within yourself, the beauty, the value, the worthiness, and the love, you're not going to get it from other people. You can't find that validation within others.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So the one specific event for my marriage was actually our honeymoon.
What?
Yes, our honeymoon. So let me tell you, when you are in a narcissistic abusive relationship, I like to say it's under, like, you were put under a spell, because it's like you are brainwashed, you're being groomed, you're being, you're made to be like formed and molded into the Stepford wife that they want you to be, right? I was put under a spell within 2 weeks of being in that relationship with my ex-husband. 2 weeks.
Wow, that is quick.
There are some women and men that I know that have been in there in less, have moved across country, have moved in with their narcissist, have had a baby, got pregnant within a whole month's period. It's insane how quickly that those people can develop and put you under a spell, because they love bomb the shit out of you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So exactly. Like, let's talk about love bombing and what it can look like.
Oh, love bombing is they're so charming. For men, it's like they are Prince Charming, and that Prince Charming just keeps on getting better and better. So what they do is they show you the best version of themselves, but realistically, it's a version of you that they see within you, right? So they see something that they like within you, and they mirror it. It's not realistically them. It's mirroring you.
They see how nice that you are. They see how kind that you are. They see how empathetic and loving that you are. So they're going to mirror that and give it right back to you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I just got goosebumps.
Oh, God. I have goosebumps this whole time, girl. So the love bombing can look like you go on extravagant trips. You get flowers, love notes. They cook you dinner. They have the best sex with you. It's all with them. It's all about the love, right? It's all about being so intimate with you, especially into the bedroom. They're not going to be so primal in the beginning. They're going to be very loving, very intimacy. Everything's all about intimacy with them. And then over the months, I should say, maybe even a few weeks and months, you're going to realize certain things just set them off. But what you need to look out for, like a huge red flag, is how they respond to their anger. What is their anger like? Is their anger like getting directed towards you, even though it has nothing to do with you? Or are they mature enough to be like, okay, I need to handle this situation. I need to take a step back and evaluate it the best way that I can to give it the best response.
Right. There's no emotional intelligence.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the perfect word right there.
Okay. Well,
yeah. So love bombing goes very, very quickly.
Yeah.
It can happen for a while. And what I love to tell people is like, you really don't know somebody until the full year is up, because that's whenever the masks really start to come off for anybody, realistically. I mean, you don't really know somebody until you know them for a whole year.
Right. I definitely believe that, because you need to go through all the motions. Within a year, you're going to have shit shows. You're going to have the holidays. You're going to have family events. You're going to go out with them and see how they act in a bar or in public. And
yep.
Yeah, I totally agree with that for sure.
For sure.
Yep. So what, you know, during this time and just with all of the experience with narcissistic personality disorder in a relationship, like a committed relationship, not so much mother or father, but what were some of the emotions and questions that were going through your head while in those relationships?
I was constantly confused. Constantly confused. So an empath. I love empaths, but it always comes with strings attached. Like it's a beautiful gift to have, but if you are not empowered, if you're not educated, and if you do not have good boundaries, you are going to be bulldozed. You're going to have zero boundaries, zero self-worth, zero love for yourself. You're going to self-sabotage like no other, right? Mm-hmm. I used to be one of those uneducated, unempowered empaths. I used to be. I'm not going to lie. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's exactly what happened, because I would not have picked the partner that I did for my marriage, right? Mm-hmm. So during that whole marriage, I was constantly confused. And that's because anytime that I tried to stand up for myself, he would reword it into a way to where I felt confused about the situation. Now, in episode 114, we already talked about my near-death experience. We already talked about the brain damage that I went through and all that stuff. So I already have confusion going on for short-term memory problems alone. When you have somebody coming in and trying to change your whole reality of saying something, an event that happened, and then coming in and saying it didn't happen, you're going to get all types of confused.
Yeah. So,
and it's awful. So think of it like this. Think of it like boxes, right? You have three boxes. The first box is the event that happened. The second box is your short-term and your long-term memory. And the third box is cognitive dissonance, like what they do to mess it up, right? So if you have somebody come in and take an event to distort your short-term and long-term memory, the cognitive dissonance and the way that you remember things is going to be completely distorted. I mean, you may even remember like having the fight during the daytime, and it actually may happen at night. It just depends. And narcissistic abuse, depending on what part of the spectrum that they're on. And narcissism, I do want to make this clear. Narcissism is a spectrum. Everybody is on it. Completely, like from 0 to 10 is like the doormat people, right? And then it goes all the way to 100, which is your sociopath and your psychopaths. So it just depends on what part of the spectrum that you're on for MPD to really get like your reality completely distorted. It depends on how long that they've been able to perfect their craft. And it's really sad, but that's what it is. Like, I know some people that have perfected their craft whenever they were 10 or 11 years old. And that's because they had no boundaries, or they were groomed by their parents.
Who were narcissists.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wow. So, you know, we were talking briefly before we started recording, and I was talking to Ali about my own experiences with narcissistic personality disorder. And it's, I love, love, love that you said confused, because, you know, my own personal experience was with my best friend at the time. And this is exactly what she did to me. We met at a play date, and all of a sudden she's following me. She's texting me. She's inviting me places. Within, you know, we met on a Tuesday. That Friday, she goes out to drinks with me. She invites me out to drinks. And at that place in my life, at that time, my husband was working about 80 hours a week building a new business. So I was alone, and I was dealing with, you know, a 2.5-year-old, as well as breastfeeding a 4-month-old baby. And all I wanted was someone to talk to at that point, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel as though she caught on to that I was in a place of just like, almost desperation for just human companionship.
Yeah.
And the whole time I just felt confused.
Yeah.
That was the whole time that we were friends. I feel like 70% of the time that we were, the friendship was alive, I felt confused. Because when I tried to talk to her about something, or when I tried to call her out on the things that she would do and be like, why are you doing that to your husband? That's not cool. She would have this pompous attitude of like, well, I deserve it. You know, I deserve the $11,000 dining room table.
Oh my God.
I can't even make this up. You know? Yeah. Yeah. $11,000 for the upholstered chairs and the table.
That is insane.
Right. Meanwhile, their house is to shit. Like, they need a new deck. They need landscaping done. But she needed that. She needed that 11, you know, with a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And that to me was a big red flag. And just the way she spent her money when they were living on one income, way she spent the money, I should say. He had to put her on an allowance because it got so bad. I mean, this is like a 41-year-old woman just buying stupid shit and, you know, seeing the state that her house that her and her family lived in, and just the work that it had to, you know what I mean? Like, just basic stuff like plumbing and all of that, but she had to get the best of the best. She needed stainless steel appliances. And it's just, I always questioned that. You know what I mean? Like,
female narcissists are a whole nother game. It's like, you have to see 3 steps ahead just to even get ahead of them. Yeah. And they are a whole nother type of breed. I always like to say that the female narc is like the devil walking on earth. Absolutely. Like, if I had to deal with a female narcissist or a male narcissist, I would pick a male every fucking day. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Female narcs, they are so revengeful. They go to no amounts to humiliate and to embarrass and everybody around them.
Yes.
It's like they play a whole nother ball game.
It's Yeah. And the scary thing was like, we were in a mom's club of like 52 women, and everybody saw her behavior and how she bullied other moms and everything like that. But everyone was just so quiet. You know, because we were all in a Facebook group, and she's like just, you know, gaslighting throughout the Facebook group. And I'm the only one that I just had enough, because I'm close enough with her where I see how sick she is.
Yeah.
And it's sad. The biggest thing when you're witnessing narcissistic personality disorder is people are almost afraid of speaking up.
They are.
You know, they're afraid of speaking up. They're afraid of calling the person out.
Yeah. So I have a counter attack towards this. So a lot of empaths who don't know who they are, who don't know, realize their worth and who aren't valued, they kind of like push everything else within themselves aside, right? Because they want to please other people. This is where the people pleasing mentality comes in. This is where the victim mentality comes in. The codependency comes in. A normal empath does not normally stay in the people pleasing codependent mentality. They stay in like a normal, healthy, balanced type thing. They recharge, they have good boundaries, sort of, things like that. So whenever it comes to, my brain just fried. What were we talking about?
We were talking, and I want to talk about codependency too, because that's a big thing.
That's a big one.
So we were talking about empaths, and I don't know what were we talking? There's just so much. Like, you can literally write a textbook about this, and yeah, it's still not enough with narcissistic personality disorder. It's not.
No, it's not enough.
No.
So, guys, I do want to explain the thought process that I had just leave my head right now. It's actually called cognitive dissonance. And the longer that you stay with your abuser, and depending on how bad the abuse was, it has damage to your prefrontal cortex in your brain, okay?
Those, all that stress, all the cortisol levels in your brain, which is your fight or flight response, the higher and the longer that it is elevated, higher than normal levels, the more problems that you're going to have long-term within your brain, okay? So what I just experienced, what y'all just were like, well, what were we just talking about? Yeah, that happens if you have been in a narcissistic abusive relationship for a very long time, because you forget what you're talking about, because my cortisol levels were all the way to the adrenaline galaxy and there was no way I could bring them down during the part that I was being abused. There was no way.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about codependency, what it looks like for an empath.
Ooh, codependency is one that really hits the nail on the head. This codependency is one where it all goes into victim mentality. And codependency and manipulation actually are twins. So if you think of twins, like twin actual people, codependency and manipulation are the same thing. Sometimes they just switch roles.
Wow.
And it sucks, because codependency can keep a person into that victim mentality for the rest of their lives, because they're never going to do anything for themselves. They're never going to say that they wanted to become a nurse. Okay. They wanted to become a nurse for the longest time. They will never sign up for those classes. They will never take that leap of faith. They will never have that trust within themselves to be like, I'm going to do this for myself. They stay in that victim mentality. Codependency, like, there are people who are codependent, and then there are people who are forced to be codependent. There's a huge difference there. So a lot of empaths who are empowered and who get bulldozed by the narcissist because of the love bombing stage, which does happen, okay? You can be empowered and educated empath and still be bulldozed to shit. You are then forced to be a codependent, which means that you rely on your narcissist for any sort of affection. You rely on them for all emotional needs. You rely on them to have all finances covered. They take care of all the finances. I mean, you're literally just sitting there and being pretty. That's it. Ooh. Now, for codependency too, you can still be the chef. You could be the maid. You can be the gardener. You can be all the above in a codependency victim mentality state. Okay. The only way that you're going to shift from victim mentality to survivor mentality is educating yourself, getting yourself back to that empowered empath, stepping back into your power because it was taken away from you, and then really realizing who the fuck you really are. And once you realize who you are and you heal those deep emotional wounds and you realize that you don't need to have somebody love you, you love yourself. That's the narcissist's biggest nightmare, is an empowered empath, because they're going to, I'm serious. They don't like an empowered empath. It's their biggest nightmare. They can accept it. So what happens whenever a narcissist realizes that he's losing control? They are going to, let's just say this is a male abuser, for example, right? So they're going to be more egotistical. They're going to be more combative. They're going to be the know-it-alls. They're going to be gaslighting like no other. They're going to be so freaking manipulative and cocky, and they're going to bulldoze any and everything that you say. Any boundary that you set, they're going to be bulldozing. But if you stick to them boundaries, and if you can escape, that is their worst nightmare. Their worst, because they lose a supply. You are their supply. You are their blood supply. So think of a vampire being the narcissist, and you are the empath, which is the blood. A vampire can't survive without blood. You take away the supply, they starve. And right. This is why I express no contact whenever a victim escapes.
Yeah.
Because you are literally escaping. You're not just leaving. You're fucking escaping, and you're saving your soul. Because a narcissist can literally, depending on how developed that they are within their abilities, a narcissist can subconsciously suck away part of your soul while sleeping.
And that's literally why I've had a lot of people be like, why do you talk about narcissism? I'm like, because you know what? I'm in the soul business.
Yes.
And I have seen it. I have witnessed it. And they can literally suck your soul.
They can.
They can suck your soul. And it's things like that, you know, and it's just like, I want to also talk about boundaries, because I think that it is really hard because of trauma bond, because of codependency issues. Like, we have to remind people that when it comes to boundaries, when you're escaping, it's going to feel like shit.
Yep.
It's not going to feel good.
No,
it's not gonna feel good.
No, it does not.
You know, so don't think that just because you feel scared, you feel alone, you feel, you know, resistance towards creating boundaries, that you shouldn't.
Yep.
Because that's the only way you're gonna escape.
Yep. And I gotta tell you, somebody who is either highly sensitive or who is empathic, who has a lot of empathy, whether they're uneducated or they are educated, I guarantee if they are in a narcissistic abusive relationship to where they are on the where their narcissist, their abuser is on the sociopathic, psychopathic scale, which is closer to the 100 mark, they are already terrified. But because of the confusion going on within their brain from their narcissist, their abuser, they're going to be like, I don't feel like I'm in danger. They're so desensitized to the fact that they don't even realistically see the danger that they're in. But all of those emotions can actually, all the danger signs can manifest within the body. Your stomach can get upset. Whenever you're around your abuser, it feels like for me, it felt like I was sitting right beside a loudspeaker and it was just going off right inside of my head. And I just felt like on edge all the time. If you feel on edge all the time around somebody, run. I mean, just as fast as you possibly can, get plan A all the way through Z, because plan A may not work. And whenever I escaped, my plan A, B, C did not work. Plan D did. So I had to have multiple plans in order to save my soul, because my abuser was getting me to the point, his manipulation was so bad, and he made me feel like such a burden for even getting sick in the first place, that I was about to commit suicide. And I already died once. We already talked about this in episode 114. Yeah. And I was about to commit suicide. And 4 days before I was committing suicide, I was writing letters to everybody that I loved. The only letters I cried about was writing to my niece, Millie, and to my nephew, Miles. That's it. All the other ones I didn't cry with. The only two I cried with was my niece and my nephew.
Oh my.
So 4 days before my dog Gideon, I was
I love that name.
He's the best. I adopted him. He's the best. The most challenging dog I've ever had, but he's the best. So 4 days before I had everything all planned out, before I was going to commit suicide, I put myself into a trance, and I was able to see everything for what it really is. Like, I was able to see my ex for who he is. I was able to see him. And I don't know if you've ever seen a shadow person, but they are fucking terrifying. And I've been seeing ghosts since I was a little child. So seeing a shadow person, I was like, oh my God, I'm in real danger. So whenever I got out of that trance, or whenever I'm still like in between those worlds, I look at Gideon and he goes, "You need to stay strong." And I was like, if I didn't get that message from Gideon, I would have died. I would have committed suicide. And I would have been like, hey, Raphael, I'm back. I didn't learn. Can you help me? type thing. You know what I mean? So it's just like, damn it. Like that's whenever I talk about, they will suck away your soul because their manipulation and their disgust and hatred for you, even though it's not really towards you, and it's not for you, I should say. It's really about themselves. They hate themselves to the point, but they're taking it out on you. That's where the abuse comes in.
Yeah.
So that's what I talk about, them sucking away your soul, like getting you to the point of suicide. And I was never suicidal before. I never would have thought that. I mean, there's no way. But it was his manipulation, his control, and the fact that he made me feel like such a burden and then was cheating on me with all these other women. It's just like, damn, dude.
Oh my God. And I absolutely love that you brought up, if you're on edge, if you have physical reactions to being with someone, because I always say intuition is mostly feeling. It's how do you feel about a certain situation? How do you feel about a particular person? That's the easiest way that intuition comes through. It's through our feelings. And because we live in this society where it's like feelings are bullshit, you know what I mean? We live in such a toxic masculine world, which is changing and I'm happy about it, but it's, you know, feelings are so degraded now that it's like, we can just live in those uncomfortable feelings. That's your soul talking to you.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know how to do soul talk. Like I express all the time, people should practice shamanism. Like Shaman Derek, I love that man to death. I don't know if you know who he is. I freaking love that man. He's a 6th generation shaman. I participate in all of his temples. I've taken many of his classes. I do all of the spirit hacks in his book. It's an amazing thing. So he teaches you how to talk to your soul instead of just talking to your mind. And I love it. You got to talk to the soul.
Oh, I had a name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Right. And I think that like, when do you, so I have a question. This is a good question. When somebody's in a narcissistic relationship, when they are a victim of narcissistic abuse, do you believe that thinking with your mind and listening to your mind is going to get you out, or is it tapping into your soul that is truly going to let you escape?
I ask all my clients this question. I always tell them, put your hand over your heart, take a deep breath, close your eyes and let out that exhale and tap your heart twice and say, hey girl, how are we doing today? If you're a female, hey guy, how are we doing today? And if you start crying, you need some help. You need some deep help. So I always ask every one of my clients that question, and I have them do that on the regular. Even in my lives that I have on TikTok, I ask people to do that. And some people are just sobbing to the point that they're like, I don't know how to escape. And I'm like, okay, I have this, this, and this available. When can you come? When can you come and call me? Because it's all realistically about saving yourself, trying to learn how to trust your own intuition. I mean, once you learn to trust your own intuition, what your body has been telling you for so long, and what your soul has been telling you for so long, and your spirit guides and your archangels have been leaving you signs everywhere, but you don't know how to read them. Once you learn how to read the signs, life is so beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I cannot agree more, because it's your soul, your guides, no matter how deep you are in a narcissistic relationship or in a shitty situation, period. Once you tune yourself in, and once you go within, and once you just become aware, you know, how quickly things can turn around for you. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be I cannot wait to hear what you have to say about this. So when it comes to empaths and narcissism, or narcissists, I should say, why do you believe narcissists are attracted to empaths and highly sensitive people?
I honestly believe let's get into this. So there's highly sensitive people, which are empaths, but not all empaths are highly sensitive people. only 20% of the world population is highly sensitive people. And those types of people are like, they have, they're categorized by like a sensory processing sensitivity is what it is. And those people notice everything. Animals have this. So that's why like animals, like they notice every little movement. They hear everything, right? My sister is HSP and I love the fact that she is, because she sees things completely different than what I do. I'm just a regular intuitive empath. She sees things completely differently. So like her lights have to be at a certain way. She can't be around certain lighting. Being around a large crowd completely exhausts her, because she feels everything like an empath does, but on much deeper level, much, much, much deeper level. There are certain sounds that she can't even be around, certain things that she doesn't like to touch, certain fabrics and things like that. Taste is huge. Taste is huge. So with an empath, those are people who are aware of other people's emotions, right? They may even feel other people's emotions and feel their physical ailments that they have going on too. Those are physical empaths, right? So when an empath is attracting a narcissist, it's because they feel and they see, quote unquote, the suffering that the narcissist is enduring.
Within themselves.
Yeah, exactly. But what is the uneducated, what is the unempowered empath doing? They're pushing their own emotions aside. They're pushing their own self-worth aside, and they're not working in themselves. So then they create zero boundaries. They have no boundaries within themselves. They don't love themselves. They look for validation within other people, and it sucks. It really sucks. And I did this for fucking 12, 13 years.
Wow.
I mean, before my emotional abusive relationship with my ex-husband, I was in a domestic violence relationship where I was getting my face kicked in every other weekend. So that's a whole nother thing of self-worth, because I was seeking love and validation within these people that I found suffering. And I was like, okay, if I can get them to love me, that is a challenge that I can overcome and they will love me forever. But it wasn't that at all. They were fucking abusing me the whole time. But I allowed it to happen because I didn't have the boundaries. I didn't have the good self-worth. I didn't feel any value within myself, and I sure as hell didn't love myself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm finding with a lot of other empaths that I have as clients. Yeah. And it's really sad.
It's really sad. So as far as your self-love journey is concerned, when did it start? Did it start when you were doing your escape plans, or did it start after you actually got out?
So December 4th, 2019, I did a practice. My ex was working. He's a fireman. So he works 48-hour shifts.
I got introduced to this ancient Hawaiian indigenous practice called the Ho'oponopono. I love it too. And I sat outside for 4 hours in December in my yard doing the Ho'oponopono. And I was just sitting there with all my emotions, and I'm just letting it go within the earth, within the universe, and I'm just letting everything out. I'm sitting outside and I'm bawling my eyes out and just releasing everything. And I'm just like, okay, I feel emotionally exhausted. I am physically exhausted, and I know that I am better than this. 2 days later, I find a note from his girlfriend that he flew out to Vegas to see. Yeah. 2 days later, I find that note. We get a huge argument to the point where it was getting physical and I had to call the cops. I leave that night. I call my sister. And this was plan D. Okay. This is plan D. I call my sister. And I tell her fucking everything, Erica. Like she knew, because she's highly sensitive. She hated my ex. I mean, hated. And she barely hates anybody. She knew before I even told her. And she's like, I knew that you were being abused, because whenever I came and saw you in September, you were not the same person that I grew up with. So whenever I told her everything, she's like, all right, my husband's coming down to get you and the dogs. Pack what you can. I packed everything I could in 2 hours, what I could in 2 hours, and I left. I did not turn back. He was at work. It was the best escape plan that I came up with. And I'm just like, I felt guilty the entire time, and I was shaking the entire time, because I was like, what if he comes home And what if he like takes a gun to my head and blows my head off? Or like, what if he comes home and just completely strangles me because he's stronger than me? I'm only 112 pounds at that point back then.
Yeah.
What if he comes home and just goes completely ballistic and I got to call the cops again? Like, what if I don't survive? Like, what if I don't live and I got to die again? That was running through my head the entire time. And I'm like, you know what? I'm safe. I kept calling upon Archangel Michael for protection. And I'm like, I'm good to go. I'm good to go. I'm good to go. I get everything over to my friend Jamie's house, which she lives like 2 miles away. He knew that I was there because I planned everything out perfectly on my social media to be like, this is where my dogs are. This is where my food is. And on my Instagram, it's all healthy food. I mean, the recipes are free for a reason. I do those things for a reason to help people. So I had my social media on point, which is major key. So if you go silent, there's a problem. But if you keep everything normal, you're good to go. So I get everything over to my friend Jamie's. I get my friends help me to get like a little U-Haul puller trailer type thing. So my sister's SUV would be able to haul it up. So whenever my brother-in-law comes down, he drove down 11 hours from Ohio to Georgia to come get me, hauled up the trailer. We left within 5 minutes, gone. We drive all the way back up to Ohio. That man drove over 24 hours straight for me and for my dogs. My brother-in-law did. And I'm just like, I could never be more thankful. And then it took my ex 6 hours to contact somebody. He broke into my friend's house trying to find me. Yeah. He tried to like do all these other things, trying to figure out where I was. I turned my location settings off on my phone. I made sure everything was off. All location settings were off. The only thing that messed me up was the fact that the RDIF chip on my debit card, which was linked to our joint account, had location settings onto it. And I'm still pissed at USAA for this today, because that's where he was able to find out what state I was in. I fled the state.
Wow.
Yeah. And I stayed gone. I mean, my sister and my brother-in-law and my niece and my nephew took me and my dogs in for 9 months until I could get myself back up on my feet.
Oh my God.
So I'm telling people, if I can do it without a driver's license, if I could do it with plans A, B, and C not working and D worked, guess what? You could do it too. You can do it too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I still want to go back to the experience of you escaping, because I don't like leaving, because I think that saying leaving or why didn't you leave? That's bullshit. I don't think anybody realizes how hard it is to leave.
It is. It is.
That's the hardest part of the whole narcissistic personality disorder experience, is escaping it. Mm-hmm. I love how you said you were fucking worried the whole time. You're not going to be happy. You're not going. It's not like it's once you decide that this is enough is enough, you're stopping it once and for all. You didn't feel good.
No.
You're calling Archangel Michael. You are just shaking and everything like that. You have to remember that just because you are in that resistant, horrible emotional state where you are worried and you are scared and you are freaking out, that does not mean not to do it.
Yeah. But I tell you what, though, I was only scared and shaking while I was at the house packing my things the 2 hours that I was there. My neighbors helped me. A couple of the wives in the fire department who were also being abused helped me.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't have a car. I don't even have a license.
Wow.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's go back to the whole, how did I get myself, or why? This is one question that drives me. It irks me, I should say. It doesn't trigger me. It irks me because it's a very manipulative question to ask somebody who has been through narcissistic abuse. It's very inconsiderate, I should say, is why didn't you just leave?
Right.
Nobody understands what a trauma bond is until they have been through the abuse themselves. It's like Stockholm syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And what happens is a trauma bond can never be broken, no matter how many spells you do, no matter how many like rituals you do, it can be weakened, it can never be broken, because it is a bond that was created between yourself and the abuser. So you are always going to have that tether with them throughout your lifetime. But the only way that you are ever going to learn from it and break the cycle of being a victim is learning from it, and then know that you will never have to live that karmic cycle again because you learned. Right?
Yeah.
So the trauma bond, and I love the show Shockingly Evil and Terrifying on Netflix. It talks about Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy, obviously the serial killer, but he was extremely narcissistic. He was NPD, obviously on the very far end of NPD, but he had NPD so bad that his one victim, Liz, was convinced for over, I don't know how many years, that he still was not a murderer.
Yeah.
And that is because of the trauma bond. She said specifically, whenever I'm with him, I feel like on top of the world. And whenever I'm not, I feel like I'm nothing. And that is no shit what a trauma bond is like. It is so bad that it is like the withdrawal from a trauma bond is like coming down off a heroin. It's equivalent to that because of the chemical balance in the brain. It is strong. It is strong. And then with the trauma bond, once your abuser finds out that you leave, they're going to Hoover you back in. And it's not the Hoover, the vacuum that people used to sweep with back in the 90s. This is the type of Hoovering where they are, let's have a baby. Let's buy this house. I can't wait to have this future with you. I just love you so much. They will point out all of your strengths, every piece of BS that you had to overcome in your life that you did by yourself, right? Say that you went like, okay, from my experience, I had 6 surgeries by myself. Well, actually I had 5 surgeries by myself. The 6th one he decided to come to, that was because he had to take me. I had no other way. My neurosurgery, I had to Uber an hour and a half all the way to Albany, Georgia by myself because he didn't want to take me. He took off work, but he didn't want to take me. And then the motherfucker made me Uber all the way back up. Excuse my French. He made me Uber all the way back up from Albany, Georgia after I had neurosurgery for this device to be put into my neck and in my chest. And then after that, he tried to strengthen, because I was pissed whenever I got home. Not only was I still high on anesthetic and pain meds, I was in a lot of pain, okay? And I'm pissed because I'm just like, you seriously are not there for me one more time. I'm having neurosurgery and they're talking about taking a piece out of my brain because it's scarred and you're not there for me. Are you kidding me? I'm just like, I was irate after I had my surgery. And of course, I'm so sorry, baby. Let me go get you a coffee. And I'm just like, I don't want this shit. I just want you to be a decent human being. And you can't even do that. The bare minimum he couldn't even do. And that's the problem, is like whenever a victim gets the bare minimum attention, that strengthens the trauma bond.
I just can't even, oh my God, how do you not go to the hospital?
Huh?
How do you not go to the hospital?
Which one?
Just all of them. That's horrible. Oh, I know.
My one TikTok, I talk about the gallbladder surgery that I had. And how he was so pissed because he had to pull over on the side of the road for me to vomit out the anesthesia.
Oh my God. That's just crazy.
It's insane.
But after the surgery, he then strengthened that trauma bond with love bombing because he knew I was pissed.
Yeah. So, you know, after you escaped, did he try to get in contact with you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He called my friends. He called my sister. He called my parents because I went no contact, which means I blocked Facebook, I blocked Instagram. He had a secret Snapchat and I didn't know which one. So every person with his name, I blocked. I didn't even know which one he was. I blocked them all. I didn't care. Whenever I blocked his Facebook account, I found two secret Facebook accounts on there. I had no idea. until I looked, you know, so I did everything that I possibly could. I went no contact.
Okay.
And then, he started calling my family. Where is she? She's missing. She's on seizure meds. So, and she has a disability. So like, where is she? Is she okay? Type thing. He tried to play like the good citizen, the good Samaritan the hero type person. And my sister saw right through that. My parents did not see right through that. I did not inform my parents of what was going on because I don't trust them, because they're the ones that raised me in the first place and were never really there. That's why I chose the person that I did to marry.
So almost to the fact where let's just talk about flying monkeys.
Oh God.
We shouldn't be laughing, but it's all of this is just like textbook narcissism.
It's
textbook narcissism. So basically what happened with you is he almost pulled, or he probably did pull your parents.
Yeah.
To be flying monkeys.
Yep. And then we'll get into the smear campaign. Then we'll get into that, because that's a whole nother. I mean, yeah. I can go into 4 or 5 episodes just with the smear campaign on the shit that they do. So for flying monkeys, it is literally coined off of the film Wizard of Oz, right? Mm-hmm. Because the Wicked Witch hires these flying monkeys to do her bidding, which is exactly what an abuser does. Mm-hmm. They hire other people, whether it is their family, whether it is their friends, whether it is people that they work with, it doesn't matter. Anybody who will give them attention, that will listen to the smear that they're putting on about you, they're going to try to walk right into your life, get information about you, and then give it right back to the person who is abusing you the whole entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the name of love, or for the name of healing. Healing.
Yes. Yes.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yes. So, God, I hate these people. So a flying monkey will go to no lengths. They will physically intimidate. Some of them will get actual physical and beat the shit out of you. They will leave death threats. They will leave, they will start to stalk you all the way around. You have to be extremely aware of your surroundings. So whenever I escaped, even though I was at my sister's house, I was still very aware of, like, I was like constantly checking like who was nearby. Even though I was in the house alone, I was still checking around corners. I was making sure all the doors were locked at the house after everybody would go to sleep.
Wow.
Like, it was getting to that point. But I'm telling you what, like, there is nothing worse than having to live through the narcissistic abuse and being scared in your own home. And then once you escape, because you are a prisoner in your own home, whenever you're going through that abuse, you just don't realize it until you wake up.
Yeah, absolutely. So if there is anyone listening right now that might be saying to themselves, like, oh my God,
something like that. Yeah, that's all about abuse. If you really listen to the lyrics for Evanescence, that song is all about abuse. It's insane. So with that one being said, you are a prisoner in your own home until you wake up from the spell. And then your abuser, once they see that you're starting to wake up, they're going to try to put you under and under. So if you have children, they're going to triangulate one of the children, which means that they're going to isolate one of the kids and try to groom them to abuse you just like they are abusing you, and then to put you back under that spell. It's disgusting.
It is.
The kids can also be flying monkeys.
Yeah.
The kids can also be flying monkeys.
It's sad.
It really is.
And here's my biggest question. And I know the answer, but I'd love to hear it from you. Are narcissists aware of what they are doing?
Some are, some are not. Okay, so let me explain this little spectrum. My friend, Sam Adamo, she actually came up with this spectrum. I fucking love it. Mm-hmm. So the spectrum is everybody is on the narcissistic spectrum, right? There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
The 0 to 10 people are your doormat people, your codependent people, right? Your 11 to 30 is your normal people. The normal empathic people stay in the normal realm. Whenever it becomes narcissistic is your 31 to 60 people. So this is where you're egotistical, combative, you're the know-it-alls, you can manipulate, you're cocky, and you bulldoze. Then there is people who are diagnosed NPD, which is 61 to 100. And the farther that you get to the 100 scales, you're sociopath and you're psychopaths. I only know of one self-aware narcissist, and that is Lee.
Yeah.
Mental healness. and Sam has vetted that man, and he is actually on our side. He is here to help. Yeah. And I am just like, a self-aware narcissist, number one, is rare.
Right.
Rare. Like, teeny right. tiny, maybe 0.5% rare.
I was going to say, like, we think empaths are rare. Like, no, this is like 0.01%.
Yeah. Yeah. 0.01% yeah. rare. Mm-hmm. So Lee gets a lot of flack because he is diagnosed NPD. The man has been in therapy for 3 years. He's married with children. He is trying to become a better person, right? Even though he is NPD, he is self-aware enough to try to become a better person. That is the only one that I know of. The only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think this is the thing too. I don't think Lee knows just the impact that he has on everyone.
Oh girl, he does. It strokes his ego. Oh, he does. It strokes his ego. I'm not even shitting you.
I'm sorry for that. But listen, if Lee can do it, if Lee can call himself out and say, like, I have narcissistic personality disorder and be okay with it, and then talk about all the shit that narcissists do to educate others.
Yeah.
Like that really is incredible. It really is incredible. And I love that you brought him up because I follow him too. And I'm just like, it's just great to see his perspective. You know what I mean? Because we have, you know, we have the people that have been through the ringer when it comes to the abuse, but mm-hmm. not the other side of the spectrum. And I love seeing both sides.
You know what's very interesting about Lee?
What?
He has a twin.
Yes.
And his twin does not have NPD.
It's I mean, he also said that it's all how you process trauma as well.
Yes, it is. Especially as a young child. And this is what I can't stress enough to parents. And this is what I say in my lives all the time. If you are in an abusive relationship and you have kids, their brains are developing from 6 to 8 years old. They're fully developed then. If you do not stick up for your children and escape as fast as you can, you are teaching those children that it is okay to be abused. And then you're going to grow up and have my whole life, which I am putting out there on social media, trying to educate people that abuse is not okay, that there is a way that you can heal from it. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of trust within yourself, and you're going to learn to love yourself, and you're going to learn to be your happiest self within the process, but you need to take the first step. And the fact that, oh my God, I can't even fathom. Like, if somebody would have told me, Allie, 2 years from now, if somebody would have told me 2 years ago, Allie, 2 years from now, you're going to be the happiest you've ever been. You're going to be in a healthy relationship, your first ever healthy relationship for a man that actually loves and adores you. And you're going to be living on your own and having your best life to where your businesses are where they want to be. I would have looked at them and be like, you're fucking lying to me. There's no way. You are lying to me. I said, don't even get all my hopes and dreams because it's not real. Like, that's where I would have been 2 years ago. But look where I am now.
I was going to say, within 2 years.
2 years.
It's not so that long.
Yep. No, and after I escaped, I took 5 months of deep healing. I was doing Ho'oponopono. I was doing moon rituals. I was doing sacred plant medicine. I was doing cacao rituals. I was doing everything that I possibly could to heal the mind, body, and spirit. Like there are certain meditations that I do, which I'll be doing in my self-improvement and healing class with Shelly Nelson, where we're doing different mudras, where it lines the nadis and the meridians within the body. And it also opens up the crown chakra and the heart chakra. Those are things that I was doing for my healing process, just to even get myself to love myself. And it's amazing. It's amazing feeling.
It is. It really is. I love mudras.
Yeah.
I also love chanting too. Chanting is a big
thing. Yes.
Yeah. So if there's anyone listening right now that they might be, their jaw is dropped and they're like, oh my God, this person is a narcissist. Like, oh my God, I'm in this same predicament. Like all of this sounds so familiar. What are three pieces of advice you would give them for the next step?
Whew. Journal as much as you can. And I mean, as much as you can with everything that is going on in your life. The confusion will actually help your journal, okay? Because when you're in an abusive relationship, you're constantly confused. If you journal, it will help you look at it from an outside perspective's view. Second of all, if you have a child, consult a good lawyer.
There are so many out there that do free consultations. So many of them that do free consultations that will be willing to take your case, okay? Because if you're also being abused, more than likely the child is also being abused. Mm. And I have, and third piece of advice, contact me. Get into a session. Binge watch all my TikToks. I mean, there's a reason why I have them out there.
Oh, guys, like when I tell you she goes above and beyond. There was one TikTok that you did where you were like doing a POV with a lawyer. And you were just spitting out so much information and just records and everything like that. And I was like, damn, like she knows what she's talking about.
Yep. And I do want to let people know, once you get to your breaking point and you have all your ducks in a row and you give everything to your lawyer, they're going to be like, well, what do you need me for? I need you to defend me because there are points where I'm going to be weak and I need you to be strong for me. Because there was a point a couple weeks ago where I needed my lawyer to be strong for me whenever I was so physically weak. So that's what your lawyers are for.
Mm.
And if a narcissist says to you, oh, babe, we're just going to go ahead. We don't need lawyers. We're going to work this out. We can file this all online. $189. We'll be good. We're going to do this together for the kids, for ourselves, and it'll be great. Don't believe it. It's a lie. It is a damn lie. Get yourself a lawyer as soon as you can. Watch all my TikToks. If you need some more guidance on that one, I personalize things for parents specifically on on how to assign different roles to their children. So it's not so much on the mother or the father, because the mother or the father who is the victim has all responsibility on them, even though that they're told that they have zero responsibility all the time from their abuser. They have all the responsibility. So if they can, I teach people how to delegate it for cleaning, everything like that. Also, I help people prepare things for court. Like I helped two ladies yesterday prepare questions for court because their abuser knows nothing about the child. So whenever their abuser gets cross-examined, I gave them a list of questions.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
Yep. And then my friend Sam, you guys know her as What Does It Matter? She has an entire, she worded this so beautifully. She has an entire thing on there on saying, I am a victim of narcissistic abuse. I believe that this person has undiagnosed narcissistic personality disorder. And because this disorder is so rare, because it goes untreated, an abuser does not go seek treatment. And if they do seek treatment, it has to be by somebody who specializes in cluster B personalities and who is well-versed in narcissism. Majority of the time, that therapist, that psychologist, will not even treat that person with NPD because there's no reasoning with that person. Mm-hmm. There's nothing. So Sam, she worded it perfectly on how it needs to be stated to the judge to have that person with undiagnosed NPD evaluated. And don't be surprised if you actually get that same evaluation. It's standard procedure.
Yeah.
Just be yourself It's okay to be nervous. Just be yourself. You've already fought so hard to be where you are right now. Now you just need to finish the war. And this is why I tell people to start reading war books, because once you leave your narcissist, once you leave your abuser, that toxic person, and you are married to them, you need to study war books as much as you can. The art of war is a beautiful one. Mm-hmm. It's going to help you guide you through the process, and then book an appointment with me because I'm going to guide you through every step of the way.
You heard her, guys. You heard her. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been enlightening. It really has. And again, guys, I've gotten so many questions on my TikTok and people reaching out, like, why do you even talk about narcissism? Because I'm telling you, I'm in the business of the soul, and this is like this is a problem. This is a huge problem. Again, yeah. Like Ali said, narcissistic personality disorder most of the time will go undiagnosed, and this person will suck the souls out of other people their whole lives
with no shame. They have no shame.
They have absolutely no shame. And you can get through it. You're stronger than what you think. I mean, Ali is a perfect example of, you know, coming out the other end, but she's the first one to tell you it's not going to be easy.
No, but I'm telling you what, escaping is easier than staying.
Yeah. I like that you said that.
Escaping and staying gone is so much easier than staying. The grass is so fucking green. It's so green.
Absolutely. Guys, all of Ali's information is going to be in the show notes for you. Thank you again, Ali, for coming on and sharing your wealth of knowledge.
Thank you. I love you.
Want a place to develop your psychic and mediumship abilities? The Modern Mystic Society is now open for enrollment. This is a low-cost monthly membership that gives you access to monthly trainings, 4 virtual live development sessions, and access to a community of like-minded healers, lightworkers, and mystics for less than $1.20 per day. Head on over to ericarusso.co to join today, but hurry, this offer is closing soon. I'll see you inside the society.